We're digging deep into the book of Bereshit, which is the Hebrew word for the book of Genesis. I'm saying this to you. Many of you that know me know I'm a straight shooter. You need to watch every episode in this series. This is now the fourth part of the series. If you missed it, beloved, order it, watch it on YouTube. Please watch every episode in this series. It's truth that many have not heard, and it absolutely can change your life. I will not do much review here today out of respect to those that have been tuning in over the last three broadcasts. I'm going to get right now into the continuation of where I left off last week. Last week, I was talking about the fact that the darkness came before the light. And what does that mean to us as human beings? Again, please go back and get the broadcast. I want to launch right now into a new verse going forward. I'm looking here at verse number 9. We're looking at, once again, the process of the mystery of creation. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. Now go back to verse number 2 with me. "The earth was formless and void, and darkness was moving over the surface of the deep." Now listen, "and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." So once again, verse 2, the earth was still, it had not been formed. It was void. It was empty. It was chaotic. It was a wasteland. It had not yet appeared. It wasn't, like I said on the previous broadcast, a globe that you could look down on from outer space. It hadn't appeared. It was formless. It was only in the mind of God. It hadn't taken on physical dimensionality yet. But what we find here in verse number 9 is that the waters below the heavens were gathered into one place, and then when the Lord gathered the waters into the one place, from there the dry land appeared. So in the beginning, in verse number 2, all we see is the darkness and the Spirit of the Lord is moving over the surface of the water. No earth as we know it today. But then in verse number 9, God gathers all the water together, and then out of the water the dry land appears. Listen to verse number 10. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. Let's read it together one more time, and then we're going to continue on. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Now listen, if you think about this and consider the fact that mankind was formed from the earth. In other words, as we look at the creation of the earth, it tells us how we were created, because we were created from the dust of the earth. We read, for example, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, that man was formed from the dust of the earth. We read that from dust we came, and from dust we'll return. We were created from the dust of the earth. So the history of the world's formation speaks to us because it contains within it our formation as well. When you consider now that the dry land in verse number 9 and 10 appeared out of the water, and you consider the fact that that is a type and shadow of your formation, consider also, beloved one, that you came out of the water. Before you appeared in the world, where were you? You were hidden and surrounded in the water of your mother's womb. You too were birthed out of the water. Our women that have delivered before know that phrase, the water broke. What does that mean? The water that encased your little one that was in your womb, it broke. And when that water broke, your little one was about to be delivered and to appear. So that water, listen now, becomes the womb of creation. The earth was brought forth out of the water. Once again, God said the waters below were gathered to one place. And then in verse number 10, and then God brought forth out of the water the dry land, and he called it earth. So out of the water, the dry land came forth. The water was the womb of the earth, right? Out of the water, the earth came. And you and I came out of the water of our mother's womb. So water is the womb of God's creation. That is why we're to be baptized in water in Jesus' name. Jesus said, "He that believes and has been baptized shall be saved." Why are we baptized in the water in the name of Jesus, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Why do we go into the water? Because when we go into the water, beloved ones, and then listen, come out of that water, the concept is that we've been born again. The water has become, once again, the womb of our new birth. We go under the water, our old life passes away, it's buried. We come out of the water once again, born again. The water is the womb of creation. And so it's a beautiful thought to understand that those of you that have been baptized, when you went into the water, your old life was buried, then you came out of the water, listen now, birthed a new creation, the water once again being the womb of creation, a brand new creature. And this is the way that Father wants us to live, as brand new creations, alive to Him, living our lives to Him, putting Him first, loving Him first. We're brand new creations. Now, I'm excited to move forward and get to the portion that I've been so much looking forward to dwelling into with you. We're going to move forward now. We've seen the process of creation. Again, you've got to go back and get the other teachings here. And now I want to get to the main point. Why did God create us? We've looked at the process. We've made application from the process. Now we're going to get to the main theme. Go with me now to the 26th and 27th verse of this same chapter, Bereshit or Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make man," get it now, "in our image." Side note, if you weren't with me in the previous broadcast, I talked about why God said, "Let us make man in our image." Why did He use the term "us" and "our" there? In who was He talking to? So you've got to go back and study that if you have not been able to tune in with me. Continuing on, then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." God made the world for man. He told man, "I want you to rule over it. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth." So God made the world for man. But why did God make man? The world was made for us, but the bigger question is, why did God make us? Why? Hear me very carefully. God made you because He wants to share Himself with you. Now that might, at first hearing, not strike you as forcefully as I want it to. So let's take a step back a bit. Have you ever felt really good about yourself in your life? Most of you had. There's been times in your life you just had really high self-esteem. And when you had really high self-esteem, didn't you love everybody? I remember, for example, during my days of wrestling as an athlete in high school, where I felt there wasn't anybody that I couldn't beat. I just felt on top of the world. I felt like I was on my way to attaining what I was seeking to attain in that sport. I loved everybody, and I wanted everybody to feel just like I did. I felt so good about myself. I felt so fulfilled. I felt so happy. And the outflow of that, of feeling so good about myself, was this. I wanted everybody to feel just like me. In other words, I wanted them to feel great. I wanted them to feel good about themselves. I wanted them to feel like they're the best. And when you feel good about yourself, you want other people to feel good about themselves. When you feel overflowing, you want to share that with other people. Now consider that in relationship to our Creator. God is so, I mean, there's no way to describe this adequately, obviously. He's so fulfilled. He is complete. He's fullness of joy, fullness of peace, fullness of victory. I mean, He is everything. But there's one thing that He needed. He needed somebody, listen, to share Himself with. Now, don't misunderstand me. God's complete. But there was a desire in God's heart to share Himself with somebody. He felt so fulfilled and so complete and so overflowing. What He wanted, beloved, was to give Himself to somebody else. He wanted other people to share in what He is and what He has. He wanted other people to share in His peace. He wanted somebody to share His joy with. He wanted somebody to share in His victory. He wanted other people to feel what He feels. He wanted somebody to experience what He's experiencing. He's overflowing with the giving nature. He is by nature a giver. And so God created man in His image, listen now, because He was looking for somebody, listen, to give Himself to. So God created you and I, listen now, to be receivers. That's why the church is called the bride of Christ. In Revelation, the church is the bride of Christ. Why are we called the bride? Because the bride's the receiver. It's the man that impregnates the wife, and she receives the sperm. In the same way, the church is made to receive the Spirit of the living God. But we have to be in a posture of receiving to be able to receive Him. The Scripture says that the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro across the earth, looking for somebody who is in a posture to receive Him so He can show Himself strong in their life. God created you and I in His own image because He made us to receive Him. But in order to receive Him, we have to be in the right posture. The Scripture says, to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. But again, we have to be in a posture to fully receive, to be lifted up into a union with Him, to experience what He wants us to experience. And He wants us to experience pleasure. How do we know that God wants us to experience His pleasure? Well, let me ask you this. Have you had a good meal in the last several days? Slow down and taste the next meal that you eat. Doesn't it taste good? Why does God give us the ability to experience the taste of sweet? Why does God give us the ability to enjoy our food? Because God's a God of pleasure. Why does God give us the ability to look at His creation and see His beauty, to see the flowers, the sunset, the birds? Because God's a God of pleasure. He wants us to experience His glory and His pleasure. Why does God give us the ability to experience the joy of sexual unity between a husband and a wife? Because God's a God of pleasure. He wants you to feel good. He wants to fulfill you and I. He wants us to feel great and marvelous. He wants to fill us with Himself. He is the God of pleasure. But in order for Him to do that, we have to be in a place where there's an open channel in our life to receive Him. Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 14, verse 21 and 23. He said this. He said, if you love me and keep my word, I'm going to reveal myself to you, and my Father and I are going to come and make our home in you. In other words, Jesus said, if you put yourself in a posture where you create an opening in your life by loving me and obeying me, you're going to have put yourself in a posture where the Father and I are going to come and make our home in you. We're going to reveal ourselves to you. You're going to be brought into unity with us, and you're going to experience everything that I died for you to experience. My joy, my peace, my pleasure, divine satisfaction. So the Holy Spirit will be bubbling up within you, and you'll hunger and thirst no more. Beloved, the mystery of creation. Why were you and I created? Because God wanted somebody to share Himself with. That's why we're here. He wants us to feel good. He wants us to experience what He's experiencing. He wants us to experience His love and refreshment, His peace and His power. He created us to give us Himself. But you and I have a will. We have to choose and put Him first. And when we do, He's going to do for us what He did for Abraham. He said to Abraham, Abraham, because you obeyed me, I'm going to greatly bless you, he said. And he said, I am your reward. God Himself is to be your reward. Will you love God and put yourself in a posture to receive Him? When you do, I can promise you this, He will make you extremely happy. The Scripture says, he that puts their hope on Him will not be disappointed. understand your purpose. Our purpose is that we were created by the Creator because the Creator wanted someone to share Himself with. He wants to impart Himself to you. He wants to impart His nature to you through His Son, through the Lord Jesus. If you will put yourself in a posture and put Him first in your life, everything that you ever desired is going to be fulfilled in God's way, and you're going to be more satisfied than you ever dreamed possible. Eye is not seen, and ear is not heard, and never has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God our Creator has prepared for those that love Him. Beloved, He's waiting for you. The Spirit of God is hovering over your life, just waiting for you to love Him and put Him first so He can speak into you and say, "Let there be."